Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is just so good to be able to connect, especially with everything that's going in the world, going on in the world, and wars and rumors of wars, even conflict at home. We thank God for Jesus and for salvation. Any amens, just kind of lift up those hands, wiggle those toes, put amen in the chat, some hallelujah, some emoticons. Just thanking the Lord for another day that He has made. We are called to be living epistles in this season and time. We are examples of who God is. And I encourage you that every day of your life, make a difference. If you look at my background, you'll see like, what kind of plant is that? That's actually a spikenard plant. We're going to talk about today as we're going to get back into our teachings on fulfilling our calling. Also, I just want to thank you for staying connected to ebcnc.com. There is so much information there. When you go to our website, ebcnc.com, or using our app, you'll see there's like a little vent section. You click on that and you can get to the news if you're using the app. Also, on our regular website, ebcnc.com, you go to the top, you'll see news section because we've got a lot of news and events that's going on. So I encourage you to actually check that regularly. If you have our app, you actually get notification of those events that are coming up with great information. On Monday, we've got a lot that's going on. We will be funeralizing Mother Betty Jenkins on Monday. 11 o'clock will be the visitation, 11:30 at Ebenezer. And I want you to pray for that entire family, Jenkins, Campbell family. It extends far out. So we just pray for that family, they be comforted in their time. And then on that Monday evening at 7 o'clock, we'll have our virtual connection. We'll be doing our Monday manna, teaching and encouragement so that we can just continue to grow in the Lord. On our Tuesday at noonday, we're in our noonday Bible study where we're going through the book of Genesis. And that's been really a wonderful study as we've been dealing with the genealogical line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, learning a lot. And I pray that we be able to apply all that we're learning to our everyday life. And then on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock on our virtual connection, we're going through the book of Luke. We're almost finished with the book of Luke. So I am just blessed that God has kept us together, just taking it line upon line, precept upon precept. And then on Thursday, 6 o'clock, we have our in-person Bible study right there in the sanctuary, 2700 West Vandalia Road, from 6 to 7. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians. It has been challenging, especially as we've been looking at excommunication and church discipline, and we've been applying, like, okay, how do we apply this in our life right now where we're living at? And then on Friday, we'll actually be in Axton, Virginia. Axton, Virginia. Yes, it's about an hour or so away, and we are going to be there at 7 o'clock. We'll be one night in revival at Gospel Light. And we're looking forward to that. So all of Ebenezer's family is invited. I'll be ministering that night with the message. And so I ask you to pray. And if you want to be a part of that, we've got the address right there on the screen. We would love to see it in Axton, Virginia. And then on Sunday, we ask you to pray for all our services that are going on. As you can see, we got a packed week. Our 8:45 in-person service, our 10 o'clock course online, and our 10:45 in-person service. And we just thank the Lord for all that He's doing. Can you put in the chat, amen, wherever you're sitting? Amen. Finally, thank you for your giving. We have been blessed at Ebenezer. We've been able to reach out to a lot of families and encourage them. I know it's tough. Season is kind of transitioning. There have been strikes and layoffs and struggles. But you know what? God is faithful. Continue to trust them. We've been able to reach out to our Feed the Hungry ministry, where we meet on third Sundays in City Central Park, and we're able to give out a substance. And we just praise the Lord for the ministerial leaders that have really kept the faith and focus. And I just heard the voice of the Lord as we reach out. We actually send out funds to overseas and mission trips. So thank you so much for all that you do. Scriptures are clear. God loves a cheerful giver, and you've definitely shown yourself as one who purposes in their heart as they give. Well, I'm thinking about the message. I am ready to get in the word as we get back into fulfilling our calling. And we're just going to walk with the Lord as He is transforming us one step at a time. See you soon.
Our scripture lesson this morning will come from Ephesians, 3rd chapter, verses 14 through 21. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and understanding of his word this morning.
One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yes, there is God, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. I'm only human, I'm just a woman. Lord, help me believe in all that I could be and know that I am. Oh, show me the stairway that I have to climb. So, Lord, from my say, teach me to take one day at a time. That's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yes, that is God, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Oh, do you remember when you walk amongst men? Lord Jesus, you know, if you're looking below, that is worse now than then. Oh, that's pushing and shouting, and that's crowded mama. So, Lord, for my sake, give me today, one day at a time. Oh, one day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yes, that is God, sweet Jesus. help me today. Show me the way, one day at a time. Oh Lord, help me today. Show me the way, one day at a time. Yes, help me today. Show me the way, one day at a time.
One day at a time, sweet Jesus. I am so glad that he really walks with us every second, changing us from the inside out. Well, as we get back into fulfilling our calling, I pray that you've been growing. I have. I've been thinking more about how God is using me and realizing that there are facets. Remember, we talked about facet of our calling, that God uses us in different capacities within our lives. But we must never forget that we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and he is directing us with that still, small voice. Well, as we get back to our memory scripture, I'm telling you, you should have it by now. We're still reading it aloud so that we can get it into our mind and get it deep down into our hearts. 1 Corinthians 6:19, if you would read it with me. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? It just always blesses me to realize that God is in charge. Well, I want you to prepare yourself today, because we're going to really start to look at how the call is manifested in our lives. So we've been really kind of applying from that Old Testament going into the New Testament. We're going to see people walk in their call in the New Testament. So today I want us to go to John chapter 12, around that third verse, John chapter 12 and 3. And so while you're getting yourself together, your notepads, your phones, I want you to please just go in a word of prayer with me. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this study today. Thank you for your word, these 66 books, that whole life, Lord, that you've infused it in it, that we're so grateful for that direction, Lord. Now I pray, maybe there's someone that's looking, listening, that doesn't know you. I pray that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's about a relationship. It's not about just repeating those words, but really wanting to know you and have a desire to be like you. And you've given us that opportunity through your son, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. You're our teacher. You're our guide. You're our comforter. So would you make this word so easy to be understood that even a child can be transformed to be like you, Lord. We just thank you for your anointing that's in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. John 12 and 3. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Listen to that again, John 12, 3. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. I want to speak from a title today, All to Jesus. All to Jesus. This title actually takes me to a song that was written in 1896 by Judson W. Van Deventer. And I'll be honest, this song has challenged me. Church often sings it, but when we really manifest it and we start to think about how it manifests in our lives, I think it challenges us all. He writes this. He says, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. Isn't that challenging just to think about that? All to Jesus. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, holy thine. Let me feel thy Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessings fall on me. And that course has always been very challenging for me. I surrender all. I surrender all to Jesus, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. As we are learning about the fulfillment of our calling today, I really want you to think about, how much am I actually surrendering to the Lord? How much am I actually giving myself to Him? I think some of us, maybe we're only giving half of ourselves, 25%, but to get up to that 90 percentile or 100, 110%, that is really being used of God. The time frame today is around AD 33. Jesus is very close to going to the cross of Calvary. We're talking about days at this point of going and taking our sins and carrying our griefs, which we're so happy about. He finds himself, as we pick up this story today, he is in Bethany, which is about 2 miles out of Jerusalem, which I find it's interesting as we think about this text, because of what's going on in Israel and the Gaza Strip. That's the section that we're actually dealing with. The scriptures earlier in other gospels lets us know that he's actually at Simon the leper's house, which is no longer a leper, but that's where this gathering is taking place. And this gathering is taking place for the purpose of celebrating Lazarus being raised from the dead. You remember Jesus gets there late and he raises a guy that was dead. And he's alive, he's well. And so everybody comes to this house and there are people all around it just amazed at the miracle that God has done. Let's jump into this chapter, St. John chapter 12 and 1. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead. I love that part, had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. Keep that in mind. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Here's the first point: the right place and the right time. The right place and the right time. In our callings, as we think about how God uses us, it's all about timing. And so God is outside of time, but he controls time. I hope you got that. He's outside of time, but he controls time. And so in that, God is the one the scriptures talks about that orders our steps, that every day we must realize every day is a ministry for us as saints. Every day is an opportunity for God to put us in places, to connect with people, to do things that are life changing. That's what a call is all about. This meal, as said earlier, is to celebrate Lazarus. And so all the family members are there. I think Lazarus at this point, I don't know how much he remembers of that. I was actually looking at a documentary and learning some stuff about people who have been in a coma, had accidents, and oftentimes they don't remember. They could have been in a coma for weeks, and when they wake up, all they remember is just kind of a beginning piece. They don't remember the people that came in. And maybe Lazarus is like, you know, I don't remember any of that, but if you said it happened, I'm happy about this celebration. They're thankful for God just moving on their behalf. But notice, here in the scriptures, we get an insight. Remember earlier in the Gospels, we actually talked about Martha, but we see a growth period. I want to pick up that John 12, 2 again. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Remember in previous sections of the scripture earlier on, Martha had actually struggled with her calling. She was anxious in that calling. If we look at Luke 10:40, where we get an insight where Jesus had to actually approach her, but Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" Martha definitely has a calling to cook and to organize, but in that calling, she wasn't at peace. Therefore, she said, "Tell her to help me." And Jesus answered, answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. I believe that many of us are walking in our calling, but we're troubled about them. We're always subconscious. There's a struggle on the inside of us, and we know what God has called us to do, but yet we don't want to do that because we want to do other things in our lives. There's a struggle. And I believe Martha was in this situation, but after she was rebuked, I believe that she began to grow. She began to find that place of serving with love. Find that place of serving with care. And she became, in essence, a real soldier for the Lord in her calling. The scriptures actually give us a remedy for those struggles as we're striving to give it all to Jesus, to walk in the fulfilling of our calling. Philippians 4:6 gives us a powerful word that I believe all of us can take and apply to our lives. It says, be anxious for nothing. In the chat, can you put nothing? Yes, nothing. That's powerful. Wherever you're sitting at, standing at, just say nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. I'm gonna really work you today. Can you put everything in the chat? Wherever you're standing or sitting, say everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God. I know. Would you put peace? This is important here. As we give it all to Jesus in the fulfillment of our calling, we get that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I believe that Martha is at this place as she's serving. This is a big, huge group of people, but yet we don't see that anxiousness. Yet we don't see Jesus rebuking her like in her early days, because she's matured in the Lord, all the Jesus. Look at John 12:3. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointing the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Here's the point. Don't miss the moment. Don't miss the moment. Now, this is heavy, because I want you to get that picture. Mary is there, and she's always, I'm going to get a quote, she's at the feet of Jesus where we see her, and she's worshiping, but her call on this day is to anoint the Christ, the anointed one. Now the picture is, when you would come into a home, you would generally have to take your sandals off, and there would be someone who washed your feet to get the dirt, the grime, after walking all day long. But even with that, you know, that a ceremonial washing, you still wouldn't be like, you know, a whole bunch of soap and water or being in the shower. But here we see Mary coming in, fulfilling her calling. Now, she has this pound of spikenard, and I actually have a little example. This is some oil, and it's kind of heavy. This is about a pound. So she brings this in. She probably had it within her skirts or so, and she begins to pour this on his feet. And she begins to wipe his feet with this spikenard, this oil. W. McDonald, he writes of this. He says, each time we meet Mary, she is at the feet of Jesus. Here she is wiping his feet with her hair. Since a woman's hair is her glory, she was laying her glory, as it were, at his feet. Needless to say, Mary herself would have carried the fragrance of the perfume for some time after this. Thus, when Christ is worship, this is powerful. It says the worshipers themselves carry away something of the fragrance of that moment. No house is so filled with the pleasant aroma as the house where Jesus is given his rightful place. Can you smell it? Can you smell it in that? I mean, you know, if you've been in the in-person services, or you've been on your job and someone has a little bit too much perfume, it's everywhere. It's just all over. Sometimes it can kind of become sickening. At this point, there is aroma. This is heavy, heavy perfume that's all over the house. It's all over her hair. I can see it. It's actually probably messing with her eyes. She's tearing up, not just she's excited because she's touching Jesus. It is everywhere. And this is so strong that this perfume would stay with you for days. This is what Mary does, anointing him. I want to ask you this question. Is this the smell, the aroma of Christ on you? Is it on your calling as you go forth, as you have given all to him? Notice 2 Corinthians 2:14 actually talks about this phenomenon that we were talking about, this smell, this aroma of God. It says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in the triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. There is access as we give our calling all to Jesus. There is an aroma that people know that there's something different. I think all of you have done that. There's something about talent. You can see someone that's talented, but when you know that they're connected with God, when you know that God is using them, I was told some of my family members were able to go to Charlotte to a concert, and Tim LaMann was there. And in the midst of that concert, Tim LaMann got happy, and she was singing by a track, and she said, you know what, stop the track. I got to testify because it's been 30 years since I've done this. And she began to tear up and to walk the stage because she had been touched the aroma. Everybody could smell that aroma. They could sense that she had been with the Lord. And that's the way it is when we submit ourselves and we give it all to Jesus. People around us will know that there is a difference. 2 Corinthians 2:15, it says, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ. Can you put in the chat, fragrance, wherever you're sitting at, can you say fragrance? Fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, all to Jesus. Oh, that we give everything to the Lord. Now look at how this story continues on, John 12:4. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? John 12:6. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. Man, we got a lot out of that, didn't we? Here's the point. One word, opposition. Yes, opposition. We all must realize when we walk in our calling and we surrender all to the Lord, all to Jesus, we're going to find out we're going to hit some roadblocks. There is going to be some stuff that pop up, and a lot of it is not going to be because we caused it. It's just because we're walking our calling. We're doing what God wants us to do, and God finds us faithful. And so there's going to be some things to come our way. Look at that. John 12:5, man, she has put this spikenard oil on Jesus. It's all over the room. She's wiping his feet with her hair. All these things are going on. And then Judas and other parts of the scripture, we find out the other disciples agreed with him too. Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? So now the tension in the text for us, as we're in this, our Western society, trying to figure out, we're like, okay, how much is that? How much is that 300 denarii? How can I equate it to where I am? Atasha Wood, an historian of the time, she writes this. It really blessed me because there have been a lot of historians trying to figure this out, but she gives us a general number here. She says, Judas reveals to us that the ointment used was expensive, but we do not know it's an exact cost. What makes the ointment so special and why it's so valuable? The ointment came from northern India and was made of pure nard. The worth of the ointment was about a year's worth of wages. Nard is made from a plant that grows in the Himalayas and is used as an ointment or perfume. Here it is. Listen to this. The cost of the ointment was worth about 300 denarii, about $54,509 in U.S. dollars. That just blew my mind to think about, because that 300 denarii is like 300 days worth of wage in that time, and they just equate it to where it would be. So that pound of spikenard, what we showed you earlier, just a pound of this was worth. We had an awesome price on it. And so when Judas saw it, he was like, okay, I can get some money out of that. Others saw it, they were like, how are you going to do it? And they're concerned because of how much. Notice it continues on. It says, disciples were not only shocked by the cost of the ointment she was using, but of the amount that she was using. This act of devotion was seen as waste. Can you imagine? She's pouring it out. She's pouring the whole bottle. I mean, I know you got your colognes and perfumes, and do a little spritz here, a little spritz there, because that stuff is expensive, you know, especially if you're buying the good stuff. It is expensive, but a pound of the good stuff, and you're going to put it all on Jesus. It was seen as exuberant at this point. Look at John 12:6, though. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. So he's concerned about this oil simply because he's like, okay, all right, if I had sold this, I could have taken some money out. And we know that Judas already has an issue with money. See, when you give your calling to the Lord, all to Jesus, there's going to be some backlash. There's going to be some people that don't understand. They're going to like, it doesn't take all of that. Why are you putting so much energy in it? Why are you praying so much? Why you're excited about that? Why are you up in the middle of the night? And you just got to let them know it's about the calling, okay? It's about fulfilling that which God has given me, and it's all to Jesus. The enemy's main goal, and we've talked about this over and over again in John 10:10. You know it, you probably memorize it. It says the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. That is his focus, but we're on the Lord's side. As we're giving it all to Jesus, he said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I want to give you a word. Don't let the devil take life from you. Don't let the devil walk on your calling. You've got to realize what God has for you, it is for you, all to Jesus. When we continually give ourselves to the Lord and walk all to Jesus, we understand something. I've actually been memorizing this 1 John chapter 5, and it's been blessing me so much. In that 18th verse, it says, we know that whoever is born of God, look at this, does not sin. But I love this second part, but he who has been born of God keeps himself. Can you say keeps himself? If I got some quick people that could type, just say keep himself. This is very powerful here. And the wicked one does not touch him. Doesn't that bless you? If we're born of God, we keep ourselves, and the wicked one does not touch us. That's because we're giving it all to Jesus. We're walking in God. God is using us in amazing ways. The enemy's going to come, but he can't touch us. We must continue to press on in the call that God has put in our lives. Look at these final verses. John 12:7. It says, but Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. Final point. Jesus knows. Yes, Jesus knows. I think oftentimes we take this statement, Jesus knows, for granted, because sometimes we can feel like that he doesn't know, that he doesn't understand what we're going through, that he doesn't understand the cost of our calling. And there is a cost in our calling. It does. It takes some of our life. It takes effort, and we go through sometimes. We find ourselves maybe weeping in the midnight hour, just trying to work through all that God has put in our lives to do. But Christ stands up for Mary as she's walking faithfully in her calling. People don't understand in the room why she would do this. Why would she pour all of this money on Jesus? Why would she wipe her hair, her glory, and use that to wipe his feet? Why would she do it? They're confused.
But Mary's got a word from the Lord. Look at John 12:7. But Jesus said, please, you got to understand, there's something bigger that y'all don't understand that's going on in this room. It says, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my birth. I want you to keep that in your mind, because we're going to circle back around and deal with that. In essence, Mary had saved up this oil for this very moment. I hope you're walking with me. All of her life, in a sense, where she was able to earn money by wares and doing what she was doing, she had this oil. This was kind of her retirement plan. As we study the life of Mary, it seems like she didn't really have anybody to take care of her. We don't find out about a husband or the background of that or the extensiveness or how deep it went. We know that Lazarus was her brother, but we're not sure their financial situation. And so she had gotten this spikenard and she was probably holding on to it, but she didn't realize that God was going to come in her heart in a mighty way. And so for this moment, she realized, I'm called to give it all to Jesus. She had been waiting, and now she knows. Have you ever been there in your life? Maybe you're in a grocery store and God begins to move on you to talk to someone, or maybe you find yourself in a line where somebody ran out of money, and that day God had blessed you with some extra money and you were able to reach out to them. I'm telling you, there are intersections in our lives of the Holy Spirit that we have to come to the point of realizing that Jesus knows, and we cannot miss that moment. It's a life-changing moment. We must realize that Jesus wants to use us in a wonderful way, just as Mary is being used. Remember Esther in the Old Testament? Yes, Jesus knows that moment of giving it all can be challenging at times. Esther was she was struggling with her calling. She had moved into the palace, everything was going well, and Mordecai and the Jews, they had been betrayed, and all this struggle was going on. And in her mind, she was like, maybe I can skip through this, maybe I won't get caught up into this. But Mordecai gives her a word from the Lord in Esther 4:13, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish." Now listen to this one. "Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" All to Jesus. That's what it's all about. I want to let you know and give you a word. God has allowed you to be alive in this season, no matter what you're going through, no matter the stresses that are coming your way, no matter if you've been laid off, no matter if you're living from bill to bill. If you're listening to me today, God has a purpose. He has a plan in your life, and he has called you for something special for a time such as this. I'm so excited because I think about my military career. I was in the Air Force, and when I was in the Air Force, I went to basic training, and one thing that they kept consistent through the whole time is that I had to have a ready-go pack. I actually have that today. I have my original one that I've had all of these years in 1990 from the Air Force. I kept this pack. It has my name on it, and I was required to keep this, and I would have it packed so that at any time the military, the United States of America could call me and send me around the world at a moment's notice just with this bag. In this bag was actually everything that I needed to sustain life. That's what it is with our calling. God puts a calling on the inside of us, and he said, I want to be able to use it at any time, at a moment's notice. That's what it's about, being all to Jesus, being 100% sold out to him. Let me tell you something. Even after I left the military, for years afterwards, they in essence told me to keep that pack because they could actually call me. I was in the reserves after that, and they could call me at any time to go any place in America or the world. And I thought about that, giving our lives to the Lord. We do it in other capacities, but here we find Mary. She gives 100% of her life to the Lord for the anointing of his feet. And Jesus Jesus says, this is bigger. This is for my burial. But I'm so glad that the story does not end here. But just in a few days, we'll find Jesus in the upper room. Yes, yes, we will. He'll be there and he'll pick up the bread and he'll break it. And he said, this represents my body that's been broken for you. He'll grab the wine at that time. And he said, this represents my blood. The disciples are going to realize it's all about Jesus. He'll be in the Garden of Gethsemane where he'll cry out three times and say, Father, not my will, but let thy will be done. They'll cry out, crucify him in that mock trial. He'll be on the cross of Calvary for us. But on that cross, there ought to be some hallelujahs. Paul the Apostle captures what a life-changing call will do to you in 1 Timothy 1:13. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy. Can you put in the chat mercy? Can you cry out mercy? Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant, and faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Yes, on that cross of Calvary, he carried our sins and bore our griefs. I must say, on that cross, he washed away our sins. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But he died on the cross for us. The sun refused to shine. An earthquake broke out. But notice something happened. We cannot forget about Mary's calling. That spikenard that she anointed his feet. That pound of spikenard. When Jesus died and they peeled his lifeless body off the cross, something amazing happened. In John 19:38, it says, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture, listen to this, of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Mary brought 1 pound of this oil and she put it on. But Nicodemus, he was a rich man, a Pharisee of a Pharisee, he brings 100 pounds for our Savior. Mary had already done the pre-anointing. Even at that time of Jesus going through all of this, the smell of what Mary had done was all over him, still his body. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in the strips of linen with spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. There ought to be some saints there. I know what's going happen next. Yes, he laid in that borrowed tomb for one day and 2 days, but something happens on the third day. He gets up with all power and all glory. And I believe when he got up, he still had that fragrance of the anointing of the spikenard. He still had the myrrh on him. And that lets us know that God wants to do something wonderful on the inside of us if we'll give it all to Jesus. And even now, the Christ has ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he is praying for us. That is good news. What is he praying? What is he praying? He's praying that we walk in everything that he has for us. I am telling you, I want you to start looking today for all the wonderful things that God has deposited in you. Please, everything that you've gone through to this point has made you who you are, that God can use you for his glory. And I hope I can say that again. Everything, every life experience, every pain that you've gone through, all of that has gotten you to today. And God is saying, I can use it for my glory. I'm telling you, that is good news. I want you to give it all to Jesus. If you don't know Christ, that's the first step. To give yourself away. Yes, you got to say, Lord, here I am. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I give myself away to you. That's what it's all about. That we can say, God, use me. Use me for your service. To the saints, I encourage you. God wants more. I know there's so many distractions, right? There's so many other things that we can focus on, we can do. But please, ultimately, God wants 100% plus of our lives. He wants everything, because we learn in our memory scripture, we've been bought with a price. We are not of our own, right? God has us. If you are saved, he has you, and he wants to use you to change other people's lives. He wants to fulfill the calling that's in your life to really bless folks, that people can be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth of him. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for Mary listening to your voice, able to walk in that which you had for her, giving up everything she had for that anointing. God, I thank you. I thank you. I can still smell that perfume that was in the room, Father, that you went to the cross and that fragrance was still on you, and you died and that fragrance was still there, and you got up on the third day, that fragrance was still there. God, thank you that you'll use our calling, that people will know that we have been with you. Thank you for saving souls, delivering and setting free. Father, we give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Looking back over the years, precious memories linger still. Back on sorrows and cares, heavy burdens I had to bear. You know it's worth it all to me when the Savior's face I'll see, waiting for me at the top of the hill. And I'm almost there, I can see the top of the hill. I'm almost there. We're just a few more rocks and reels, glory beaming bright, just beyond the peak of night. Hey, 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 oh, what a beautiful sight at the top of the hill. My friends, they often wonder how I made it through the years. Went through this veil of sorrow, my eyes were blinded by grimy tears. I said it's worth it all to me when his glory I'll see. He'll be waiting for me at the top of the hill. And I'm almost there, almost there. I can see the top of the hill. I'm almost there. We're just a few more rocks and reels, well, glory beaming bright, just beyond the peak of night. Hey, 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 oh, what a beautiful sight at the top of the hill, at the top of the hill, at the top of the hill, y'all, at the top of the hill, at the top of the hill now. Whoa, glory beaming bright, just beyond the peak of night. Hey, 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 oh, what a beautiful sight at the top of the hill. My friends, they often wonder how I made it through the years. Went through this veil of sorrow, my eyes were blinded by grimy tears. I said it's worth it all to me when the Savior's face I'll see. He'll be waiting for me at the top of the hill. And I'm almost there. Yes, I can see the top of the hill. I'm almost there. We're just a few more rocks and reels, where glory beaming bright, just beyond the peak of night. Hey, 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 what a beautiful sight. Hey, 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 oh, what a beautiful sight. Hey, 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 oh, what a beautiful sight at the top of the hill.
live.